You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 5th of November. We'll look and see at what took place over the weekend in losses to Memphis and Denver. Maybe gain a little perspective about the schedule and where we sit. Look at the 9-1 Raptors that are in the house and around the league as well. It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA Insider. Today's show is brought to you by Mazuma USA. If you're a small business owner, you need Mazuma USA. And by Murdoch Chevy. Looking for a truck as the year comes to an end? Chevy trucks are the answer. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving insight, expertise, geeky little numbers, and all the fun stuff about the Utah Jazz. You can get on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or tell your smart speaker to play Locked On Jazz. All right, we lost twice this weekend. People seem to be a little concerned. So specifically to Sunday's loss, it only should be bothersome the sense that it's in eighth pack of a three-game losing streak. When the schedule came out, that one was circled by the ESPN schedule alert. Baxter Holmes did. Frankly, I think our staff was aware of it too. And you saw it, right? We were great for three quarters of basketball. And then when, you know, things got, we got tired and things went a little weird and strange things happened. The wheels fell off and then injuries happened. And unfortunately it sounds as though Donovan is going to miss tonight's game because of that. So there's a lingering after effect to playing three games in four nights and six games in six cities and six games in whatever it was, but I think it was eight nights by the time we were done. Is that right? Maybe there was a ninth night in there. That was ridiculous. So, and that happens to everyone. Toronto's got a tough one tonight. Hopefully we can take advantage even though we're without Donovan. But that's really, I thought the Jazz played great in that ball game. And Memphis, the defense was really bad. And guys were not guarding their yard. They were getting by on dribble penetration. They were pounding it on the rim against the Jazz defense in a manner because Gobert was pulled out. It was a little disturbing. The Jazz also, have had some bad luck on that one where I think the opponents hit 5 of 11, 11 of 19 on above the break threes. I mean, Memphis is just not that good a shooting team. We also got fortunate against Dallas and probably won because they went 3 of 18. Lost to Minnesota because they went 11 of 22. The margin on these teams is pretty slim so that when suddenly guys get hot or get cold from three, and honestly, I know it's, well, we should just defend better. It's the defensive league average on above the break three is from top to bottom has very little variance. Other than seemingly Boston for like an unusual like 13 years in a row. And so I don't necessarily agree. It's great, but like, I wonder if we really defended the three a million times better against Denver where they went 6 of 23 than we did against Memphis who went 11 of 19 or against Dallas who went 3 of 18 or Houston who went 8 of 29 or Golden State who went 8 of 16. Like, there's some level of just variance that happens on that above the break three. You deny the corner three, you try to keep people off the rim, and then you're dealing with a level of variance. And part of the Memphis loss was that they went 11 of 19 from three. Pretty unnatural. Denver did not have a great shooting night. They were 6 of 23 on above the break, and then Malik Beasley hit a bunch. And we had a terrible shooting night. We were exhausted. 4 of 19 on above the break threes after we had two really good shooting nights. Do you think the Jazz looks against Denver were that much worse? I don't. I just think that's the variance that you're playing with, and particularly this time of year when the separation of teams is slim, that wins and loses you games. Now, with that said, the Jazz have lost three in a row. So what is the legitimate concern that you would have if the Jazz And, you know, Derrick Rose hasn't played since he played us because he gave out every ounce of energy he's ever had in his life. So if, you know, we'd suddenly played Portland and Utah, switch that when Derrick Rose doesn't play, then all of a sudden, you know, we're probably getting that win and you're not talking about this stuff. If we didn't get, you know, it's just all luck. You know, Memphis is good right now. I don't think they're going to be good at the 45-50 game mark when Marcus Gasol starts to fatigue. But right now, they're great. I think they're the number two or three defensive team in the league. They've shown it to us in both games and stymied us offensively. I don't think they're there in game. You know, they weren't there last night against Phoenix. They're going to start to wear down by game 30-35. We unfortunately play them three times in the first 15 games. If you remember the day I went through the schedules, I pointed that out. These are not new thoughts, by the way. So are there areas of legitimate concern? I think there are two. There are two areas of legitimate concern. One is, can the defense get back to its elite level? And so if you look at the defense right now, it is any game below 101 is elite. Any game below 105 is really good. In nine games, we've been elite against Memphis, Houston, New Orleans, all missing their star. Dallas, four. So four games being elite. A fifth game against Denver, in which we were very good the other night. And then we were opening night against Sacramento. We were just there. And we've been bad three nights. We've been bad against the Warriors, the Timberwolves, and the Grizzlies. So the concern to me is that all of those are able to bring Gobert out on the floor. And when you bring Gobert out on the floor, what you're now asking for is guys to guard their yard. And is there anything, I don't know, I'm just asking, is there anything that's happening with the freedom of movement rules that's making it so that athleticism is more important than ever? Because if you really look at our roster, what we have is really, really good basketball players that are smart and play the game intelligently and play systematically. And we do not have elite. We're not the athletes of, say, a Miami with Jason Richardson and all those type of players running around. I don't know, even Justice Winslow and Tyler Johnson's pretty darn athletic. That's not who we are. Josh Okogie, I want to call him Okogie. I think that was wrong. It's like an elite level athlete the other day in Minnesota. It's pretty good. Dylan Brooks is a nice athlete. He's not elite, but he's nice on Memphis. You know, that's Ricky Rubio's probably at athletically pure, just like athletically probably on the other, you know, loses that battle most nights. Joe Ingles, certainly, but he plays, does it with such guile and guts and all those smarts. Is there anything in favor, certainly with stretch fours, loses that? Is there anything going on in the league with the new freedom of movement that is eliminating some of the Jazz strengths? So that would be the first level of concern. But I think, I don't know, I have to analyze that. Time will tell. Very clear to me that the league is going to hold to this player movement. I'll explain that coming up in the next segment. There's a cycle going on here that I think is worth noting. The second concern would be the starting lineup. I'm probably overplaying this a little bit last night because I watched Toronto just blast the Lakers. But Toronto was a team that was really, really good last year playing with two bigs. And two bigs that, quite honestly, made sense. Ibaka with the ability to stretch, Valanciunas as a big defender. It made all the sense in the world. They have stopped doing it. Last night, Valanciunas plays 17 minutes. Serge Ibaka plays 29. Excuse me. That's their 48 minutes last night. I don't know where the other two went. And why they don't add up to 48, but that's their two. And they got 48 points in 24 minutes, 24 rebounds or something crazy out of that, 48 points. I mean, Ibaka had his season high last night. He had, like, I think he had, He was 8 of 8 in the first quarter. Okay, so he was great. But last year, he was a dud at the 4. Derek, a lot of times at the 4, just doesn't seem to have it. The other one is that Rudy can't get the ball on the roll. Well, he can, but he gets the ball much less on the roll when Derek's in the game. And we saw that with Ibaka last night. And then they're just swapping the two of them. They played not a single minute together all night. They played Pascal Siakam at the 5 for 2 minutes to close the first half. That would be why their minutes don't add up. I'm looking at popcornmachine.net. So I just watched that last night, and that just jumped out at me. That's who we are. Toronto's always been who I thought we are. Our players are a little different, but Donovan's not that different than Kyle Lowry, and we don't have Kawhi Leonard, but they didn't have Kawhi Leonard last night. And so, and they're, I mean, athletically tonight, woo! So, I don't know. That was just a thought while watching that. And I don't know how you manage that situation. And I don't know how Nick Nurse has managed that situation to get Ibaka and Valanciunas to buy into this and not feel as though they have been completely neglected and forgotten. It's tricky. Today's show is brought to you by MazumaUSA.com. If you're a small business owner and you own 1 to 5 employees, you don't own them. So let's try that again. If you're a small business owner and you have 1 to 5 employees, I know we're going back in time on a bunch of issues, but that would not be one of them that I would suggest. Then here is what Mazuma can do for you. You call Mazuma. They give you free consultation. You set up with them. You give them access to your accounts. They immediately get you your first report. You have a CPA and a tax and a bookkeeper that are assigned to you for $75 a month. It's like adding a department to your company for $75 a month. They immediately give you a report, have a tax planning discussion with you. Every month you get a report. Every quarter you get a tax planning call. At the end of the year, your taxes are done for you. The coolest thing, no contract. You can cancel at any time, and there's no hidden fees. For $75 a month, your small business, 1 to 5 employees, adds an entire department for $75 a month. MazumaUSA.com. Promo code is LOCKED, LOCKED. And for a free consultation, call 801-980-2102. That's 801-980-2102. That's 801-980-2102. All right. Those are my concerns. Don't want to pretend like they don't exist. But let's have a little bit of a reality check. Let's go back to one of our staples that we've built over the years. The road to 52 wins. Is that a fair number? So the concept here, we've done this together for years, if you've been with us, and thank you if you have. We built this a long time ago, and we used to do it the road to 45 wins. So I think 52 is a big number. I think 52 would be an incredible accomplishment, and I think 52 would get you home court advantage. Maybe not. We'll see. But, I mean, 48 did last year. 49 did last year. So you go through and you look at Denver and you say, okay, we're going to play Denver 4 times. We'll play them twice at home. Let's win both those. And we'll play them twice on the road and we'll lose both those because we've lost 7 straight there. And we'll play Portland and we'll play them 4 times. How about we split with them, but we split the home and the way? Okay, so we're going to win one of the homes and one of the roads. And Minnesota is another team equal to us. We're going to go split 4 with them. We're going to win one at home, one on the road. Play Oklahoma City 4 times. We'll beat them both times in Salt Lake, lose to them both times in OKC. We'll play the Lakers and beat them 3 out of 4. Actually, I projected even with the Lakers. 1 at home, 1 on the road. We'll play Phoenix. We'll beat them 4 times. It's hard to do. Probably should try to beat the Lakers 3 times. And let's change that. Let's beat the Lakers 3 times. And let's beat the Suns once. Or 3 times. Golden State, not going to beat them in 3. So you go through this, and regardless of where you're playing them, on what back-to-back schedule, you figure, you just decide that's all going to even out. But I'll just look at Sacramento, play them 4 times and beat them 4 times. Clippers will play them 3 times, will beat them once at home, once on the road, beat them 2 out of 3. Rockets play them 4 times, beat them once at home. New Orleans. So I went through this whole thing, and I've built it for 52 wins. Something that's interesting. Eastern Conference home games. I have us going 13-2, losing to the Raptors and the Celtics. I know, it's this week. 13-2. Eastern Conference road games, I have us going 9-6. You're going to survive this thing by beating up. You're going to go 22-8 against the East. And then you're going to go 30-22 against the West. And that's how you survive this. As of today, on the road to 52 wins, our projected win total is 4. That's what we have. 4. Why is that? Well, I had us winning both games at home against Memphis. We've won neither. And we're supposed to win one of the next two against Memphis on the road. But I also didn't have us winning a game in Houston or in New Orleans all season long. So when you suddenly look at that, we're not off pace by a great deal right now. You're going to have to make your hay in other ways. You're going to do it against Easter. You're going to beat Brooklyn twice, and the Knicks twice, and the Cavaliers twice, and the Pistons twice, and the Bulls twice, and the Magic twice, and the Heat twice, and the Hawks twice, and the Hornets twice. I didn't have the Wizards as twice. And you're going to beat Dallas 3 out of 4. You would have liked to beat Memphis 3 out of 4. That's how you're going to do this. That's the road to 52 wins. And right now, we're not off, believe it or not. And this week, frankly, if we win 2 out of 3, we'll be ahead. And then next week, we've got to go get one in Memphis, probably one of the two at some point. Dallas, we actually already have our win there. At Philadelphia is not supposed to be a win. At Boston's not supposed to be a win. And at Indiana's not supposed to be a win. I mean, we could still be on the road to 50 wins, 52 wins, and have six wins. If we beat Dallas, lose to both Toronto and Boston this week, we'll have a mental breakdown. Beat Memphis. I guess lose to Dallas? Well, we'd have to probably, we'd end up having to be half game one way or the other. Lose to Philly, Boston, Indiana. We're only a half game one way or the other, depending on what happens in that Boston game. I mean, that's how nutty and absurd this schedule is. Okay, then we come home and play Sacramento. We go to the Lakers. We go to Sacramento. We have Indiana at home. And then we go Brooklyn, Charlotte, Miami. That's where we got to get this thing rolling. We got to get this thing rolling November 21st. But in the meantime, this is just a murderer's row to start the year that's brutal. Now, are things perfect? No. Defense is ranked 13th in the league. That seems really strange. We've had some really bad defensive games. Dante Exum is shooting less well on corner threes than Derek Favors. It's not great. The starting lineup was 6 of 18 shooting against Denver. I haven't really broken down their game to game, but it doesn't feel good when I watch it. That was a problem at the beginning of last year. Can we rectify it again? I assume we can. There's nothing. You look at this, actually. The other one is we're offensively still getting the most or fourth most open threes in the league. We have the best SQ, which is shot quality. Our defensive shot quality is down a little bit. We're not impacting defensively quite the way we once did. But you know, we also have some unnatural things going on. Teams are shooting 45% on the mid-range. That's going to drop down to 42 or 41. No one was better than 42 last year. And teams are at 41.5 on the corner three, and I don't kind of think that's going to last. But, again, we're denying it pretty well. So the fundamental pieces are all there, and it should be fine, and the schedule is just brutal. I know. Really unexciting. You'd much rather have me... You know, and let's be honest, if I'm doing a talk show and not a podcast, I'm probably hammering on my two concerns and just freaking everybody out and doing, you know, what I doing that because it's better talk radio and this would be really crappy. But I mean, here's a good note on the defense. And I'll pull it up. Last year we were number two in the NBA. These are the subtle little things. So last year we were number two in defensive shot quality. We were fifth in the league at denying the three, fifth in the league at denying the restricted area. This year, we're 10th in the league at denying the three. All right, tighten that up. Like, tighten that up. And we're 8th in the league. That's interesting. I have a different number here. I have us as 5th in the league denying the three. I wonder why cleaning the glass has us as 10th. Maybe they take out blowout numbers. No. Actually, that's interesting. We're still second best. Didn't know that. They have us 8th best at denying the rim and 5th best at denying the three and 2nd overall at forcing teams into smart shots. That's great. That will carry us a long way. That'll bring us back. Teams will stop shooting. Teams are shooting better at the rim against us than they have. Actually, all right, when we come back, I'm going to talk about two things. One is I'm going to analyze just a little bit numerically what's off with our defense. It's interesting. And then in shooting realms. And then two, I'm going to look at something with the Raptors that they're doing that I think is really interesting to a piece that we worked on or in the summer that I think I shared with you. Today's show is brought to you in part by Murdoch Chevy. Murdoch Chevy is Tyson. Murdoch runs that. Tyson's a good dude. Love watching him at jazz games get all fired up with his family's cute kids and everything. The Murdoch family wants to make sure that when you come and do something with Murdoch that you leave with this feeling of connection and that you really got treated correctly by the Murdoch family. So when you're a car dealership, there's only so much you can control, right? There's a price that the cars cost, and so you can only control cost so much. And then the second thing is you can control the experience that someone gets, so they're very diligent on that. I think you'll feel that when you stop by a Murdoch. And then what perks can they give you? So the Murdochs are going to give you a car washes for life. They're going to give you safety inspections for life. They're going to give you a 5-day price match guarantee, and they're going to give you a 5-day return policy. Okay, those are signs that they're going to do there. What else can they? Oh, they can extend their service hours a little bit so that in your work situation, you can get to them a little easier. Those are the things the Murdochs are doing to make sure that you have that experience. At Murdoch Chevy in Woods Cross, trucks abound. The Colorado diesel I drove for a while is amazing. The Silverado is a luxury car. Don't let any of these truck owners tell you any differently. It's absolutely a great lineup, the best lineup that is out there with the unibody frame. It's Murdoch Chevy out in Woods Cross, also in Logan. Stop by and find new roads at Murdoch Chevy. Jazz defense. I wasn't going to do this. Let me see if I can find this. I found this last night. I did nothing with it. So let me see. Huh. Well, I can find it again somewhere else. All right. So trying to look at the Jazz defense last year versus this year and what is different 9 games in. And, you know, really what's different is 3 games in which the Jazz had a bad time and then haven't had enough sample size to go fix it. And it's not as though those 3 games didn't exist last year, right? There were those games too. But let's look at it. So according to Cleaning the Glass, we've gone from 2nd to 11th, and we're just not defending the shot. So we're 6th best in the league in effective field goal percentage, and we're now 18th. And it's gone from 51 to 53%. So what's happening? Where do we rank against league averages? Is there any place we're getting unlucky? Well, here's where it's happening, and then we'll look at whether it's a league average. At the rim, we were 8th best defending the rim. We're now 22nd. So teams are shooting 64.9% at the rim. Last year was 62. Oh, that's a big deal. Short mid-range, we were 8th best in the league, and we're now 19th. It's gone from 38 to 41. That one, by the way, I think we were a little lucky last year, and we're a little unlucky right now. I just think the league average on that shot is 39%. They were at 38 because Gobert probably bothers them a little bit, so that impact's not there right now. Again, 4 or 5 of the 9 games, Gobert's been brought out on the floor, so these numbers make some sense. Long mid-range shots. Teams are hitting, last year, 39.7, which was 10th in the league, right about league average, and this year they're hitting 43.7. Okay, Derrick Rose, Kevin Durant got hot, and those numbers are skewed unnaturally. They're going to come back down. Corner three, last year, team shot 40.2. This year, they're shooting 40.7. Above the break three, last year, we were 14th. This year, we're 14th. Overall three, last year, we're 36.8. This year, we're 36.4, because those numbers just come. Guys, here's, like, you think our defense has been the same for 5 years in a row? Or 6 years in a row, none of us would think that, right? Here's the last 6 years of what we've allowed on threes. 37.2, 38.6, 36.8, 36.2, 36.3, 36.8, 36.4. Okay, 1 year in there, we're not very good. The 4 years since Quinn's taken over, it's basically the same number. Because the three just has variance. But it regresses to the mean universally across the board. Okay, so that's really what's going on. Then, with the shot. So the shot is that we're not defending the rim as well because Rudy's been pulled out. We're getting unlucky on some mid-range shots. Okay, we're not defending the paint as well. Then we're not forcing turnovers. Okay? We're not fouling nearly the way we did last year, but we're not forcing turnovers. Last year, we were 5th in the league in turnovers. Forced this year, we're 20th. So small difference. It's 1.7%. It's like one turnover a game. Not sure why it is. But those are the numbers. And as I think the sample size grows, those numbers come down. All right, remember this summer we talked about how frustrating it was for me that we will allow bad shooters to take twos and we'll call it okay because they moved closer to the basket, but we won't allow bad shooters to take threes. Right? Do you remember that? So maybe you weren't with me this summer and you went and did something else in which you should be admonished for your lack of loyalty. The league average on a three-point shot is 36% or 1.8 points per shot. There's only three guys in the mid-range last year, Channing Frye, Steph Curry, and Mike Scott, who averaged better than 1.8 points per shot on a mid-range shot. And yet, 200 players took 30% of their shots or more as mid-range shots. Only 9% of those players made mid-range shots at the same rate as a 33% three-point shooter. And yet, if you shoot below 33%, we basically, either coaches or players themselves, tell you to stop taking the three. So let me give you a few numbers here. So only 9 players made mid-range shots at a rate better than 33% three-point shooter. Yet only 15 or 7.5% made them as the same rate as a 32% three-point shooter. And only 27 or 13.5 made them as the same rate as a 31% three-point shooter. Okay? Like, the medium mid-range shooter, those who took 30% of their shots in the mid-range, is a 26.7% three-point shooter. Yet, if you shoot 26.7% from three, we tell you it's a bad shot. Okay? So, what happens is, at some point, taking, let's call 34% of all shots last year were threes. If you shoot 36% or above, we're fine with it. There's 115 players who took 34% of their shots or more as threes if they made 36%. But the minute you dropped below 36%, which is way better than a mid-range shot, there were only 66. By the time you get to 33%, there were only 29 players in the entire NBA who took 34% of their shots as threes or more. So if you don't shoot 35% from three, we basically either shun you or you shun yourself or whatever it is. And remember the point on mid-range, like 28%, which is still better than a mid-range, there were only 2 guys in the league that took the same as the league average amount of threes. Yet, for two-point shots, it's fine. Like, there were 103 players last year who took 35% or more of their shots as non-restricted area twos while making 40% or better. And 60 of them if making 40% or less. Okay? Are you following me? So basically the point here is if you're not a good shooter, well, it's all right if you take a long two, but gosh, don't take a three and only hit 27%. Well, listen to what the Raptors are doing. Jonas Valanciunas is taking a three a night. He's shooting 31%. OG Anunoby is taking 3.5 threes a night, shooting 28%. CJ Miles is taking 3.5 threes a night, shooting 26%. Van Vliet's taking 2.5 threes, shooting 25%. Siakam's taking 1.4 threes a game, shooting 21%. Ibaka's taking 2.5 threes a game, shooting 21%. That's incredible. They're taking the 18th most amount of threes. They're 22nd in the league in shooting. They are third in the league in effective field goal percentage. Because they're actually, what they're doing that's interesting is they're having their good shooters take mid-range shots. And also take the threes. But Kawhi Leonard, Kyle Lowry, that are good shooters and want to take a mid-range shot, so be it. Kyle Lowry is shooting 58.5% on twos. Ibaka is shooting 65%. Siakam is shooting 68%. That's not... On mid-range shots. On mid-range shots, Kyle Lowry is shooting 48%. Ibaka is shooting 54%. Kawhi Leonard shooting 46%. Valanciunas is shooting 57%. They're not very good shooters. They're just shooting threes. It's really crazy. I think it's right. It's kind of radical. So OG Anunoby, who's shooting 28% from three, has taken 2% of his shots as a mid-range shot. Norman Powell is taking 47% of his shots as threes. He's actually making 41%. CJ Miles has taken actually 20% of his shots mid-range, but 61% of his shots as a three is making 26%. Pascal Siakam is about even between mid-range and... Valanciunas is actually is taking a lot of mid-range shots. He's also making them. But if you can't make a mid-range shot, go take the three. Kind of interesting. I'm going to talk to Nick Nurse about it tonight. That is today's show. Hope you're doing great. Thank you very much for tuning in. This is Locked On Jazz. Locked On NBA Today. Josh Lloyd, the biggest stories, the local experts every Monday. I'm one of them talking about the Jazz. Have a good one. Talk to you soon. It is Locked On Jazz, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.